thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you are our generous God. Lord, you promise us that you will meet all our needs, Lord. And as we put your kingdom first, Lord, you tell us not to worry about anything because you're always here for us. And Lord, as we continue to look into your truth, all of your promises to us, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would have open hearts and ears to hear what you want us to hear today. And Lord, we love you, Jesus. We want to be more like you in every way. Lord, come Holy Spirit and show us and shape us in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we're continuing our little series called How to Live Like Jesus in 2023. And we've had some great sermons previous to this. And today I want to talk about speaking like Jesus. Last week Simon talked about healing like Jesus, how we can do that. So I want to talk about how we can speak like Jesus. And you'll notice that when Jesus spoke, when we're reading about his life, people really listened. And Simon reminded us when he talked about healing that Jesus didn't have superpowers. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and we have that exact same Spirit working in us. Whoa, amazing. And Jesus also said that, you know, I'm only going to do and only going to say and live and act on what I see my Father already doing around about me. So we also don't have to worry that we're going to have to know and work it all out, what we have to say or do next, because God's going to lead us, which is such relief, because I don't think we're that clever anyway to work it all out. Well, I'm not anyway. So let's have a look to see how Jesus spoke and the kind of impact that really had. When we look at the book in the Gospel of Luke, we can start reading Jesus' words after his baptism, when his ministry, his life of ministry really launched. And if you wanted to follow with me, you can do that. So I'm going to start reading from Luke chapter 4. And this is after Jesus had been baptized. I'm going to read from the New International Version. So you can either just listen to me or you might want to follow in your Bibles. So when after he was baptized, the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. And every time Satan gave and tested him, Jesus every time said, "It is written," and would respond with scripture. So first of all, he said, "It is," when he was being tempted to eat, because Satan waited till he was the weakest after 40 days and nights, and he was very hungry. And Jesus said, "No, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." So Matthew adds in, "but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And so Satan tempts Jesus again, and Jesus says right back at him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And again the third time it says, "Do not put the Lord your God to your test." So Satan was right in Jesus' face, and Jesus was experiencing the reality of the cosmic battle. And, you know, during worship today, there's been a lot of prayer going on about the difficulties and the hard things we face and the battle that we're in. But Satan left Jesus because Jesus defeated every temptation using scripture or the word of God alone. And Paul picks up later on in one of his letters in Ephesians about the word of God as being a part of our spiritual armor, and he calls it the sword of the spirit. And you'll note that in the armor, the word of God, the sword of the spirit, is the only weapon of offense, of attack that we have. So Jesus knew how to use his spiritual armor. He knew how to use the Word of God, and to defeat the enemy's attacks, which is so cool. And you know, I often do that. I'm sure you do too. It's really great to use scripture and pray scripture when you know that you're up against it. So say if you're going through fear or doubt, something that I might do is go to something like Proverbs and start to pray through that in the first person. So Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5, many of you may have heard this one. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. So I'll say, yes, Lord, I'm going to trust you, Lord, with all of my heart. And I'm not going to lean just on my own understanding. Actually, in all my ways, Lord, I just thank you that you're here. I acknowledge your presence. I'm not alone. Even if I can't see you working right now, I know you're with me. And that you will make my path straight. You're going to lead me, keep leading me in your way, in the right way, into pleasant places for me. So the Word of God is really powerful. So when Jesus spoke, he spoke the Word of God because he knew of the power that it has, speaking God's truth. Straight after that little story with Jesus in the wilderness with Satan, he's full of the Holy Spirit and goes into the city, into the synagogue, and he speaks again. This time he's handed a scroll, and it's Isaiah. And we know it as Isaiah 61, and he speaks scripture out again. In Luke 4:18, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Wow. He spoke with authority. He declared that. And the eyes of everyone, it said, were focused on him. They knew something was going on. And he said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And it says there that all spoke well of him and were amazed, it says, at the gracious words that came from his lips. Gracious words. All of his words were full of grace. And they picked up on that. Really interesting. And because he spoke the word of God in such a confident way, with authority, they were saying, like, who is this? Who's Jesus? Who is this person? Wow, what's going on with Jesus? Because they know Jesus. You know, it makes me pause to think, you know, what are the words that we speak? Is it scripture? Is it God's truth? Are we speaking out the truth of God to people? And what reaction do people have to your words or to my words when you speak? Are they saying, wow, what's going on with her, with him? Something's going on there. Are they drawn in? But Jesus' words did not always inspire a positive reaction, but he would speak anyway, because straight after that part of what Luke is telling us about, he also starts to speak to them and says in verse 24, I tell you the truth. We had a lot of words of grace apparently. Now he's saying, I'm going to tell you the truth. And he starts to unpack their stubbornness of heart. He said, you know, there were great prophets that came in many, many years ago, and your ancestors didn't believe what they had to say, and they missed out on miracles because of that. But now someone greater than he is with you. And they, it says in verse 28, were furious. So they went away. It's funny, we're so fickle, aren't we? Started from speaking really well about Jesus. Wow, who's this guy? Now they're furious. They drive him out of the town and want to throw him off a cliff. Wow, that's a bit of a contrast. So Jesus, when he speaks, he's not speaking to get a good response. That's not his aim, but just to follow his Father's lead. And he was highlighting the state of their hearts at that moment. that they were stubborn and that they had limitations there in their mindsets. And we know that Jesus came to earth full of God in human form to show us what the Father is like. And it says in John chapter 1, verse 14, that Jesus came full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father full of grace and truth, which we just saw in the synagogue there, didn't we? For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So at times, the truth, God's revealed truth, was not well received, but it needed to be said. And for us, you know, when we're speaking to others, you know, we love the grace part, you know, making people feel good about how the goodness of God, but the truth is essential. That's also part of it, because for God, it's not just anything goes. There is a real truth that God wants us to bring. So the example of Jesus really points to his motivations, doesn't it? You know, when he opened his mouth, what is he wanting to do? Is he trying to please the people? No, he's wanting to please God. So I wonder for us, and I wonder for myself, is my motivation when I speak to please those that are hearing me? Do I want them to make them feel good? Do I want to say things that I think that they want to hear? I know when I was at school, it reminded me when I was in my chemistry class. I kind of liked chemistry, but not really. Was never that good at it. But I remember one day in our chemistry class, and the teacher we had was quite a stern woman. And she asked a question and wanted an answer, and there was deathly silence. And even as a kid, I always felt, you know, I was feeling for her. I thought, gee, this poor woman, no one's answering. So I blurted out a response. It was wrong. And she said to me, Maria, think before you say something. And I kind of thought, that's pretty cruel. But then I thought, maybe she's on to something. Maybe it's good to stop and to think. Because our words too are very important to Jesus. And I was pretty amazed. I'm just reading through the Gospels at the moment when I came across Matthew chapter 12, verse 33, about what Jesus says about the words we speak. Let's have a look. Jesus said, make a tree good and its fruit, and he's talking about our words there, our words will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers. I think that's a bit of truth either. He was talking to the Pharisees anyway, who had stubborn hearts. But you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So from our heart, our fruit, the words reflect what's in here. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account. Next slide. On the day of judgment, for every careless word they have spoken. What? But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Whoa, serious, Jesus. Wow. That gives us all pause to think. So the fruit of our lives are the words that we speak. This is the fruit produced by what's in our heart. So what's stored up in our hearts? How does stuff get into our hearts anyway? Jesus here is speaking to the Pharisees who didn't believe in Jesus. They couldn't accept what God was doing in Jesus at that point. Were proud of their traditions. They didn't want to change. They were prideful with the high status they held in their community. They didn't want that challenged. They were filled with hate now when it was challenged. And they were attacking. And it said that they had murderous thoughts toward Jesus. Jesus was really threatening the way, their way of doing life, and really upsetting the status quo that they had lived by for generations. They didn't want to change. And their hearts were filled with unbelief, with pride, with hate, with an unwillingness to change, stubbornness. What's in our hearts? Our hearts can be so full of stuff that's not about Jesus. You know, are they so full of stuff that's not about Jesus? And would we want to change? Or are we open to flow, to be filled and to flow with what Jesus wants for us? What's in our hearts? Well, it's good to see what's in Jesus' heart and how it got there. So Jesus, we can see, spoke out scripture. So scripture is in his heart. And he obviously spent a lot of time soaking this in. Remember, Simon reminded us he doesn't have superpowers. He took time to read and study God's word, getting the truth of it into him, getting to know the heart of the Father, and that was essential because remember the Pharisees were proud because they knew God's word as well, but the outcome was different. They saw God's word and saw rules to follow, and they were focused on doing that, and by doing that, being right with God or showing how good they were and wanted to please God that way and telling everyone else how well they're doing that too. They kind of missed that bit of being with God and receiving and giving love to their Heavenly Father. In John chapter 5, verse 39, really interesting, he's saying to them, "You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life." But these are the scriptures that talk about me, Jesus is saying. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. So we need more than just knowing about the scripture. But you will note that Jesus doesn't say, don't study the scripture. He's just saying what the outcome should be. And Jesus is inviting them into relationship with himself and with God. Jesus also showed us, through his words that he fills his heart and his life with scripture, but also from Mark chapter 1 verse 35, he shows us what it means to be a human being and not a human doing that the Pharisees were. It says that very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house and went to a solitary place where he prayed. So again, Jesus made time. He was very intentional about spending time with God in quietness and in stillness to be with God by himself, away from distractions where he could connect, converse with God. So again, a great time to reflect, isn't it? What are you and I filling up our hearts with? You know, the movies, the games, the music, the stuff we read, the stuff we look or listen to, the people we spend time with, are these all sources for us to learn more about God and soak in his presence? Are those tools for us to do that, or are they not? How are we going? I ask myself this too. Are there aspects that we could or need to change Would we even allow, be open for God to highlight that for us and then actually do something about that? I just wanted to quickly mention about James. You don't have to look at this, but in James chapter 3, verse 5, he talks about the tongue and our words. And he says our tongue is a small part of our body, but it makes great boasts. It considers what a great, consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. He's pretty harsh about what we speak. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. And in verse 9, he says, with the tongue, and again with what we say, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. I often quote Joyce Meyer, who says, our words are packages of power. Always love that. So what we say has the power to build up or it has the power to destroy, and it's always our choice. And I find it intriguing that James talks about this because James grew up with Jesus. James was the brother of Jesus, the younger brother, a half-brother, I guess. And I wonder, I mean, he would know more than anyone what it would be like to live with someone who never says anything wrong, never cursing, always saying the right thing, but you keep putting your foot in it all the time. And I'm sure it would really grate on James. So he would know more than anyone what it's like to know what's in your heart because you just keep blabbing it out. And we can all be doing that. He knew the reality of humanity, that our desires, the things we desire and need and the things we are frightened of and all those things come together and impact how we speak and what we say. And what we say matters because it matters to the people around us. So let's live like Jesus and follow his example. Let's allow God's word to dwell in our hearts richly as we spend time reading the Bible. And with Jesus soaking in his presence, in worship, in stillness, in conversation, all the while just allowing God the Holy Spirit to move and transform us from the inside out, increasing our love and our passion for Jesus alone. Because that's what God wants to have in our hearts, passion for his son, passion and love for Jesus. And as we do that we might hear God speaking to us as well, speaking to us the deep things of heaven, God's heart into our hearts, so that we too may speak like Jesus. Words that are full of grace and full of truth. Thank you, Lord. Worship team, do you mind coming up as I just pray? Lord, we want to thank you for your example to us, Jesus, that you are 100% God, but 100% man. You show us what God's really like, but you show us how we are to be as well. And so thank you that you take the guesswork out of it. And Lord, would you just come and keep moving in our hearts today, convicting us, showing us. I thank you that you are a God that keeps inviting us deeper into you, to know your ways more deeply. Holy Spirit, come and continue your transforming work in us as we continue to worship and to wait on you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I invite you all to stand as we continue to worship.